All right, guys, so we're talking today about the doctrine of justification. Let me just begin by reading a few questions for us to start thinking about this very important doctrine, this topic, and I'm going to have us read that big old paragraph right there, which is this church's statement of faith, statement on the doctrine of justification. All right, so first question is this: what is the doctrine of justification? You guys don't need an answer right now, but just think about it in your head. How would you answer this? If someone asks you this question, this word justification, it's such a long word. I never use this word in my lifetime. But what does it mean? What is this? What is the doctrine of justification? Number two, why is the word alone? In the Reformation, five solas, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, what would happen? And why is that word alone so central? The heart of the Christian faith. The heart of the Christian faith. Number three, how does leaving out alone or only completely kill Christianity? So that one word alone, such a small word, only, alone, but that is the heart of it. That is the heart of our faith. And if you take it out, you lose everything. You gut Christianity. You kill off Christianity. All right, so thinking about those few questions, let me read this statement of faith for us. All right. So CLCC is just Cross Life Community Church. This is our statement of faith. In other words, as members of the church, this is what we hold to together in faith. Justification is God's gracious, full acquittal, forgiveness of sinners from the guilt and penalty of all their sin, who believe in Christ by grace through faith. There it is, alone. Because of the obedience of Christ, who satisfied the justice of God by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, our guilt was imputed to Christ. His righteousness was imputed to us when we believed. Justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, is an essential truth of our faith. Okay, so it's not just a side thing. It's not just a small thing. It's an essential thing. And we'll see going on, it's not just an essential thing. It's probably the essential thing of the Christian faith when we say the gospel, when we talk about the work of Christ, about salvation. Okay, so let me just kind of run through some of these points here. If at any point you guys have a question or a comment, feel free to just speak up at any point. It's no problem at all, okay? Number one, we really need to understand the doctrine of justification. We really need to understand this. Right, this is not an optional thing. We gotta get this right. This Bible commentary writer, former preacher, this man has since passed, but he was a great Bible teacher. John Stott said this: nobody has understood Christianity who does not understand this word, the word justified. So if you don't understand this word, you have not yet fully understood Christianity, according to what John Stott is saying. Martin Luther, a great Protestant reformer back in the day, said, if the article of justification be once lost, all true Christian doctrine is lost. We've lost it. If we lose this one, we've lost the doctrine of the Christian faith. And John Calvin said this: wherever the knowledge of justification is taken away, the glory of Christ is extinguished. Religion or Christian faith is abolished. The church destroyed. Hope of salvation utterly overthrown. So John Calvin is not one to speak exaggerated words. He means it when saying, if we lose justification, we've lost it all. This is the heart of the Christian faith, right? Okay, so a very, very simple and basic definition of justification is this: to be declared righteous by God. There's a huge difference between to be made righteous, meaning I have caused you to be transformed, to be changed into a perfectly holy and righteous person in your mind and your actions, and to be declared righteous, which is basically a judge saying to a guilty person, I declare you righteous, and therefore you'll be treated as righteous. You're forgiven, right? There's a huge difference between declared and made. Justification is not to be made righteous. Justification is to be declared righteous, okay? Let me just save our eyeballs a bit. Okay, again, CLCC, our statement of faith, justification is God's gracious, full acquittal. So again, gracious and full acquittal of sinners from the guilt and penalty of all their sin. Not one drop left. All of it, right? Martin Luther, way back in the day, 1500s, his conversion story is a powerful one. his conversion story was basically one where he had to relearn the gospel again. He was already teaching theology at a school. He was a scholar and a theologian. And yeah, he never understood the gospel. And because of that, he never understood. He was not converted yet. He was not a Christian, even though he knew a lot and he taught a lot. But he was not a true Christian yet because he was not yet converted. And it was not until he learned the doctrine of justification and relearned the gospel itself that he was converted. Look at under point 2, B, Roman numeral 1. Luther, the story of his conversion was basically this. Luther discovered something. He discovered that the righteousness that he needs before God is a righteousness that must be alien righteousness. Alien. We think about aliens being those guys with a big old head and big old eyes, right? UFOs. Alien basically means something outside, right? The righteousness that I need before God to be made right before God, to make my way into heaven, is not a righteousness to be found within me, Alex. It's a righteousness that must be found outside of me, namely Christ. The righteousness that I need to have before God cannot be found here. It must be found there, outside, alien righteousness. Romans 1:17 says this, "For in it the righteousness of God, the righteousness that comes from God, the righteousness that God demands from me is a righteousness that God has given to me, that comes from God." So we know it's right. We know it's accepted by God. It came from him. It's revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, "The righteous shall live by faith." So it's not earned by my works. It's received by faith. Received from God by faith, right? Philippians 3:9, "And to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that I earned," this record of righteousness that comes from the law, "but that which comes through faith in Christ." Faith in Christ, the righteousness from God. It depends on faith. Again, the righteousness I need for my salvation to be right before God must come from him, God himself. What God demands from me, God has provided for me through Christ. Right? Okay. So that's justification. Not I have been made. I am righteous enough, but I have been declared righteous. Number 3, we really are saved by faith alone. And as we preach through the book of James here, where it's faith, but the necessity of works to validate our faith, there could be some confusion, but when it comes to salvation, we really are saved by faith. And there it is, that word, alone. Faith alone, sola fide, the great Reformation truth about the solas, the 5 solas. We are saved by faith. Now we are saved by faith in Christ. We are saved by faith alone, in Christ alone, right? Look again at 3b, Cross-Site Community Church, statement of faith, those justified believe in Christ by grace through faith alone. Okay? R.C. Sproul said that the Protestant and biblical doctrine of justification also affirms the necessity of faith, but it adds an important term, alone. Alone. Right? So it's not that we are saved by faith. We are saved by faith alone. We are not saved by Christ. We are saved by Christ alone. Right? If you take out the alone, you've lost the true teaching of justification. Right? The question I asked in the beginning, alone, or the word only, why is this the absolute heart of the Christian faith? Let me just finish up the notes and we can talk about this at the end. But look at Galatians 2:16. "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ." Again, notice it's not by what I do according to the law, but through faith. That is how we are justified. That is how we are saved, faith in Christ. So we have believed in Jesus Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law, because by works of the law, who will be saved? It says no one. Right? By works of the law, no one will be saved. By our good works, by me, Alex, and my good works, I will not be saved. By our good works, no one will be saved. There's only one way to be saved. It is through faith in Christ alone, right? Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Here we see the way anyone is saved is through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, right? The righteousness that comes from God, not a result of works that I know in my heart. All right, so we really are saved by faith alone. Now we see why it's all about faith. If you guys turn to the back, number four. And again, at any point, if there's questions or thoughts, feel free to ask it. I don't mind. Number four, we are saved not by our works, but by Christ's completed work. Okay? So not by what I do in my works, it's by what Christ has done in his works. That's why we say he is Savior. Right? Look at 4a, Cross Lake Community Church. Sinners are justified because of the obedience of Christ, who satisfied the justice of God by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Our guilt, my sins, were imputed. The word imputed means to be counted, to be credited to. It's kind of like a bank account. If I have $1, Josh has $1 million, and Josh's $1 million got credited to me, got counted to me. So all of a sudden, I look at my bank account, I have $1,001,000, right? Or I have $1 million, and my bank account got, my $1 got counted to me. He has $1. And that's the way I'm looked, that's the way I'm treated. That's the way I live now. I have $1 million, he has $1. Okay, my guilt was credited to Christ, right? All my sins, all the sins I ever committed, were counted to Christ. And so God the Father looked at Christ on the cross and treated him as if he lived my life. Right? So, when we place our trust in Christ, this is what happens. God took your record and counted to Christ, and God treated him as if he lived your life. Right? All those shameful sins, all the ways we disobey and fallen short, God treated him as if he lived my life. And then God took his record of righteousness and he counted to me. And he treated me as if I lived Christ's life. Behold, my beloved Son, whom I am very, very well pleased. As pleased as God was with Christ in his life, God is pleased with me. Right? There's no way I will not be accepted by him. Right? That is what happens when we believe. His righteousness was imputed to us when we believed. Wayne Grudem said this: justification is an instantaneous legal act of God in which he thinks of our sins as forgiven, as Christ's righteousness belonging to us. So he declares it, he considers it, he counts it. And because of that, he declares us to be righteous in his sight. How can we not be righteous in God's sight if all my sins have been taken and all his righteousness, perfect righteousness of Christ, has been counted to me and clothed over me? How can I not be righteous? Because Christ can never not be righteous. And as righteous as Christ was, that's how righteous I am now, because his record of righteousness counted to me. A good example is the difference between the words do and done. Do is this is what I must do. Done is this is what Christ has done. Right? So it's not about what I need to do. It's all about what Christ has done. That is my confidence. That is what it means to trust in Christ, to rest in Christ and his completed works. Right? Luther said this: the law says do this and it's never done. The gospel says believe this and it's already done. In other words, Jesus said, John 19:30, he said it is finished. It's done. Not one more work needs to be added to Christ and his completed work, in his life and his death and resurrection. Jesus completed the work of righteousness. Therefore, I don't have to add one work to his completed work. Right? If I try to add one work and depend on one work that comes from Alex, I'm saying what Jesus, you did was not complete. But because that's what Christ did, is finished, I can rest in him. Right? Just finish up with a few quotes. Richard Sibbs, good Puritan writer in the past: it is a destructive addition to add anything to Christ. Right? If you add one thing to Christ, it's not Christ alone. You just kill the gospel. Right? Add one word to Christ's finished work, you've lost it all. Right? Because you've denied Christ. You've rejected Christ, saying he's not enough. Okay? Tim Keller said, you can't add to Christ without subtracting Christ. Try adding one thing to Christ, improving upon the work of Christ, you've subtracted Christ, right? Martin Lloyd-Jones, if you have any confidence in the flesh, you are not a Christian. That's powerful words, right? If you have any confidence in the flesh, in Alex and my work, you've gutted the gospel. You've rejected Christ, and you are not a Christian. To be a Christian is Christ alone, and I rest in him. I run to him, and I rest in him by faith, right? All right, so that's the doctrine of justification, and let me turn off the recording now, and we'll just finish up our time together here.